Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving.
Is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Taylor, irony is like...
We get knowledgeable heckles even in our live chats.
Fuck it. If you got to capone the pervs, do it.
I don't think a calculator could even help us with this.
No way.
No.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. We are live on Zoom. For the people that are live, there will obviously it's also being recorded. You might be hearing it on your ears at a later date, and that's fine. As you all know, this is... Oh, by the way, I think I really wanted a martini when I wrote this intro. But
nice.
This is where a dry martini meets dried bloodstains.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. This is where a dirty martini meets a dirty rotten scoundrel.
Oh.
Nice.
Thank you. And this is where a chocolate martini meets the chocolate box poisoner. It's a true crime podcast with a twist.
Of lime!
Yay! Oh. And we've got loads of people shouting of lime in the chat, which is awesome. So... without further ado, I would like to welcome to this episode our fantastic guest, comedian Jenny Collier!
Yay!
Welcome, Jenny! How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How's it going?
It's all right, it's all right.
Good, lovely to be here. I can hear a dog barking in my background now, so we've got your dog honking. I think it's stopped now. Okay.
Is it your dog?
Oh, I wish. No. A stranger dog down the road.
Oh. Well, we've got a unifying theme for the podcast already. Dogs making sounds.
Interrupting dogs.
Yeah. Jenny, whose dog is it? But then we got the main question, and that is, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I have. I'm so glad you asked. So it happened in the first lockdown. No.
Okay.
The summer of 2020. So
the great second lockdown of 2020.
The one where you're like, I think I'm allowed to go on a date as long as it's with six people. And we get hammered out of a little milk carton. And
that's the rule. And then pee in a bush because all the toilets are shut.
Yes, and you have a Scotch egg. That was the rule, wasn't it? As long as you had a meal. I love it when people were like, we're fucking the system. We've just had a Scotch egg. And you're like, just have a fucking meal. Like, it's nice. Go for a meal with your friends. Yeah. But anyway.
No, don't take that win away from those people needed it.
So strange times in the world. I had obviously, as everyone had maybe, gone a little crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I went to the park. I didn't have a garden at the time, and it was a roasting heat wave. Ooh. So I went to the park for a little just lie in the shade. I wasn't sunbathing. I was shade bathing. Okay. But I just wanted to go somewhere where there was a breeze.
A girl after my own heart.
Yeah, I'm a pale woman.
That sun is strong.
Absolutely. Yeah. I am a Tim Burton character in any beach situation. I'm like,
I'm the closest thing to ginger I have ever seen. I have to get in the shade. I don't tan. And I was also kind of, I was a little bit premenstrual. I was holding some fluid, and I was just not really feeling very like, you know, I wasn't flaunting it as such. But sure. I go to the park, but I want to be cloth free. So I'm wearing a bikini.
Okay.
But I'm in a shady corner of the park.
As is your right.
As is my right. And I heard some like buzzing of a drone, and I looked over and I clocked some, let's call them wankers in the park controlling the drone. And I thought, oh, what a pair of bell ends, but whatever. And I was in such a tucked away shady corner that I didn't really think much of it. And then a little bit later, I'm lying there and the drone comes like really close to me and hovers above me.
Oh my gosh.
Too far away for me to hit like a cavewoman, but too close for it not to be directed at me.
Yeah.
And so they were kind of and I was furious, and it was there long enough for me to like put all my t-shirt back on and my shorts and be all cross and then pack up my blanket and start to like stomp out of the park. But then on my way out I was like, this wasn't right. Like, what would Gina Martin do? Like, I need to change the law. I'm a bit not being upskirted, but I'm being down-titted.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so I went back to the park and I was like, I'm going to do something. I'd just reiterate, I was locked down. I'd gone troppo.
Yep.
And so
it's okay.
So I was like, what can I do? And I wanted to come back to them and say, so I was like, maybe I'll film them themselves on my phone.
How do they like it?
How do they like it? And that was the phrase that I was searching for but couldn't find. And so I went back past them first because I had to go past them once so that then when I stormed out again, I didn't have to go back past them. So I went past them sort of quietly, not filming them. And they didn't even notice me. Like, they're not interested in actual women, humans.
They didn't notice you with your clothes on.
They didn't notice. No, they're not interested in actual, the women there with their, you know, aromas and
real
hairs.
People.
Yeah. They just want the far away people on a screen. And the two wankers were there on their screen looking at their drone screen.
Yeah.
And so then on my way back past them, I start filming them. But because I was so enraged and a mad woman, I went, Jill, are you enjoying it? And then stormed out of the park. And I was so furious. It was so violating to like come and zoom down on me. And so you don't know if they're like filming or if they're just watching or if it's being filmed and what happens to it and all of
this. It's not okay.
It's not okay.
Fucking perverts are airborne now. Like this is
not a good situation.
Yeah.
It's too much. But like hashtag not all drones.
Oh, it could have been a bomb, right?
Fair
balance. I mean, I think that...
What else are they used for? Oh, maybe wedding photos. Oh, but it wasn't a wedding, was damn it.
Maybe it was just... Oh, that's so frustrating, too, when you decide to confront.
Yeah.
But and your body's not ready for it. Like, because you're still in shock, as anyone would be. And so that's what comes out.
Yeah. What did they say to you? Like, did they acknowledge?
Did they respond?
So the one who the so there was of the two wankers, there was one younger one, one slightly older one, and they were both holding beers and just being like bros
and drunk droning.
Yeah, and then so as I went past them and as I was filming them, and I rue the day because today I was looking for the video in order to maybe show you the audio. And I haven't, I don't, I think I must have gone through my phone for a cleanse and just been like, I don't need that negativity in my life anymore. But I wish I had it because it was really funnily mad. But you can hear me going, do you like it? but you hear the younger one going, oh no. And he's got this really awkward, nervous smile on his face. And he goes, why is that so upset you?
Really? And
yeah. So he knew he was doing wrong.
Yes, he did.
Okay. Yeah.
But he didn't know why it would upset you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, so what a fucking...
That's interesting, though. I like, as much as like you didn't do the confrontation that you didn't do like Wonder Woman storming, but you did he was still unnerved and awkward. Like, you made him feel some shame.
I do love the idea that you approached the wrong drone duo and they were just like,
really,
we are observing the late stage larva of the we do enjoy a beer from time to time, but we're just looking at the pupae.
I believe that's a red coat. Interesting, yes. Lovely.
Do you know what? This happened nearly 2 years ago, and that never occurred to me. Never occurred to me that they might be a different drone boys.
I'm here to victim blame, Jenny, that we've all got a role. All got a role to play. I'm sure it was them. I'm sure it was them.
I'm not so sure now that you said
How many people have drones in a park? I mean, genuinely, how many? Is this a thing now?
Several. No, I'm sure it was them.
Yeah.
I mean, and good for you for going up to them.
Thanks. I mean, you saying this makes me extra glad that I didn't post their pictures on Twitter, because I very nearly did, because I posted the story of what happened onto Twitter and loads of people were like, oh my God, report it. Oh my God, that's definitely illegal. And like, what a pair of dickheads. And I was like, agreed. And then loads of people went, actually, you're not entitled to any privacy if you're in a public place. And it was all the, like, you know, the usual the suspect men. Incels. Yeah. The
ones, do they have Union Jacks in their Twitter handles? Yeah. Okay.
And those were the ones that made me go, okay, I'm going to report it.
Did you have any justice?
No, unfortunately not. No, I called the non-emergency police.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, is a bit of an embarrassing thing to do for such a thing. But I just
what
thought,
do they wear? Like, do you ever wonder, like, what's the non-emergency police uniform?
They're all on bicycles.
Just sweats.
John, I rang the emergency because it's 111, isn't it, for the non-emergency. That's the NHS one. I rang that the other day for toothache, which turned out I'd just been brushing my teeth too hard. So we've all made mistakes with the emergency services.
Oh, my teeth. Someone in the chat has just said 101.
Oh, 101
We get knowledgeable heckles even in our live chats.
I actually had forgotten that. So that's really useful. So how did they respond to it, Jenny? What were they like on the phone?
Well, I'm quite a sensitive woman. And when if I ever call the doctor or something like that, I get highly emotional when I'm describing what's wrong with me. Even if it's like my knee hurts a bit, I'm like... and I, for some reason, get emotional. So when I called this woman, even though it's like a fairly minor thing, I could hear my voice cracking and I was like, oh man. And then this woman at the other end, obviously trained very well in her job, is not going to be like, oh, baby, okay. She was just like, and where was this? And what time was it? And what did they look like? And blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So she was fine. And she like took the details down. I'm quite grateful to her that she didn't go, that's not a fucking crime. Like, fuck off. But she was just like, oh, sorry, that was a bit sweary.
Please. Swear. Tell us more about these cunts. Not the 101 lady. She was doing her job.
She was doing a great job. And she stayed like totally like non sympathetic.
She has to be neutral, but it absolutely is a crime. And you did do the right thing by reporting it.
Thanks.
Also, I would have watched. Sorry, go on, Katie, go on.
No, female workplace.
You go.
I was just going to say, if everybody reported stuff like this, then they'd have to do something. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Oh my God, there's been an epidemic in drone pervs. Maybe we need to, like, start going around schools talking about consent. Maybe we need to start crisis management, the youth. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we actually... The problem's invisible if people don't report it.
Yes, I think that's very true. Also, I think if I'd walked past them, I would have said, your license for that. Because actually, with drones, you really do need a fucking license. You can get into trouble because, like, if you don't have permission to do it, it's because of all the fucking flight paths above London.
Even though
it's not
that high.
I think they would get into more trouble for not having a license than they would...
They would be perverts.
For being perverts, yeah.
Yeah, so you should have gone, planes are more important than women.
Fuck it. If you got to Capone the pervs, do it.
Yes. Capone the pervs, but still report it.
There's just always a new way.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. Was that articulate? I'm going to start a foundation, and that's my speech.
No, that's good. We've got somebody in the comments that said, chuck a rock at it. Which I actually support.
Yeah.
Don't know if that is a good idea.
The Chuck a Rock at It campaign, yeah. I would wear that t-shirt and support that. Chuck a rock at it.
Yeah. My parents live in North Wales and they live by that big slate quarry where it's like a big slate tip. Yeah. And my dad one day, years ago, he was walking along there and a drone came up to him and it's obviously filming the like beautiful landscape. My dad threw a rock at it.
Wow.
Yes, we don't like your kind here.
It's not your landscape, Mr. Drone.
I remember my favourite thing of... It's not quite the same thing. It's the Google Maps. You know the Google Maps car that goes around and films?
Oh, yeah.
And occasionally you'll see it. And on the Isle of Wight, if you look at... It's like East Cowes as you get off the ferry. If you go on Google Maps, I don't know whether they've taken it off now, but it's just a man outside a pub mooning the video. I was just like, do you know what? Good for you. It's pixelated out. So they knew it was there.
They knew it.
But they're like, do you know what? Give people a laugh.
I love that. Because also... I was thinking, oh, it's going to be a finger, and a mooning is actually kind of refreshing. You don't see them so much.
Very, yeah.
Bring them back.
That's a bit of a throwback.
Just because I haven't seen a mooning since Jarvis Cocker did it to Michael Jackson.
Do you know what it is? Actually, that's a really love. I mean, it's not. Is it
slightly retro?
Yeah, it's slightly retro.
Oh, how 90s was mooning. Anyway, Jenny,
that we've just talked about like a total invasion of privacy and like virtual assault. We're like, but butts, bring the butts back.
But if you get your bum out, it's refreshing.
Yeah. Butts are so innocent.
I love a refreshing butt.
How often can you say that?
In my house, a whole lot.
Wow. Before we get off on an exciting tangent about butts, Jenny, we always ask, what would you say to the perps? But you kind of said your piece already.
Yeah, I kind of want to say you're welcome for me not putting their faces up on Twitter. Like, yes. I think they should, I don't know, donate to my Ko-fi for not ruining their lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you respected their privacy there, and that's the ultimate irony, I guess.
Yeah.
Sorry, Taylor, irony is like...
I have an ironing board, Hannah. Jesus. I just don't do it very often. Oh, we had fun, didn't we? Drunk women solving
crime. So I'm going to move on to the true crime story portion of the podcast.
Well, now, I'm in the mood for this. I mean, I always am, guys. I'm always in the mood, but I'm like extra in the mood. Let's go.
Now, I decided to be on brand and base this case around a pub.
Nice.
Thank you. You're welcome. You know, I am nothing if not reliable. And that's what your wife said to me in the shower this morning. There we are. We got it. Just trying to say that in every episode because...
Just trying to make something happen, Jenny. I'm not sure if it's working, but we just keep going.
Trying to make fetch happen, which is ironic because I'm copying Tina Fey for a different reason. We're going to be talking about the Ostrich Inn, which is one of the oldest pubs in Britain. It is the fourth oldest pub in Britain, apparently.
Ooh.
So first question, what year do you think this pub was built?
1950s.
We I swear,
1950s.
I have like personally been in about 40 pubs that have claimed to be the oldest pub in Britain.
They do. Like,
seriously. There's a lot of that.
There's a church in Bonchurch, which is near Ventnor on the Isle of Wight, which is like 10 something. And okay. I reckon if you've got churches, you've got pubs. So I'm going 10, 12.
You start with a 12. I like it.
That's before the whole, you know, 1066 stuff. So that's bold.
That's very
the 1066.
Old.
Somebody's studying for their citizenship test.
The England's history is like before 1066 stuff, after 1066
nothing
stuff.
Happened.
Jenny, what year do you think the fourth oldest pub in the UK?
Oh my God, my Estrella is going directly to my head, and I was like, "What's an old pub?" And I was like, "What's that one in Harry Potter?" So my answer is not going to be. I'm going to say 12.
Sorry, can I change mine? Because mine was just a whimsical American style joke. Hannah, what did you say? We've got 12.
I said 12.
So I have to end with 12.
Apparently.
I'm going to go with 1612.
1612. You're changing from 1950s. The correct answer is 1106.
Ooh.
So I'm actually not sure who's... I suppose 1012 is closer, isn't it? Or do I have to round up to...
yeah. Hannah George.
1106 is closer to 1012 than 1212.
I can confirm that I don't care.
It's kind of right in the... It's right in the middle, isn't it?
I don't think a calculator could even help us with this.
No, there's no way to figure it out.
Chat
so.
People, if you answer quickly, is 1106 closer to 1012 or 1212? Hannah's closest.
Thanks, guys.
Hannah wins.
I was going to say 16 something until you said 10 something, and then I was like,
I was just like, you guys were so much closer.
You deserve the glory.
Okay. It's just that I know exactly when ostriches came to. No, it's not.
God, the fruit machines in there must be so retro. Like,
a man throwing fruit at you.
Throw a rock at it. That was the pub game of the time. Throw a rock at it.
God, it probably was. Anyway, yeah. Right.
So it's just this... potato.
Yeah. Winner gets to eat a potato. Now, they wouldn't have been potatoes, would they? Because it was before America was.
Oh.
I want to say discovered, but really the word is colonized.
turnip, maybe?
Yes, maybe turnips.
Pasta.
Oh, yeah. There's not going to be pasta. If there's not potatoes, there's not pasta.
Apples? They had
I mean,
apples.
I don't know that for a fact. I feel like I didn't have pasta until I was about 12. So.
You guys, our culinary history knowledge aside, I have to move us along.
Sorry. No, I have to know this. Were potatoes native to the Americas and they were only cultivated over here because somebody brought back a spud?
That guy, is it Francis Drake, I want to say, brought one back for Queen Elizabeth I? But I'm pulling this out of my ass from Blackadder, so I don't know if that's real history.
Okay, wow. Peanuts and potatoes. We do have some good stuff, guys. All right.
Yeah. Actually, the chat's agreeing. It was Francis. No, someone's saying Walter Riley. Anyway, right. More than 900 years old, this pub is. It was opened in 1106 while King Henry I was on the throne. It's in Slough, in a place called Colnbrook. It's near Heathrow. The pub is opposite an ancient milestone telling travellers that they are 17 miles from London. I've written, this is such a lame joke. I like my boozers like I like my coffee. Old and too far from London. It's not a thing, is it? Right. Anyway,
you like your coffee.
Along. Yeah,
your coffee old. Like it would make more sense to say like I like my men old and too far from London because you moved away and Richard's kind of old.
Yeah, that might be a better joke. Hey. There's no judgment in Blue Sky.
We don't have to workshop. Hannah and I have both been in writers' rooms today. Like, I'm just not sure I buy the whole pub and Slough thing. Would it be set there?
And I'm like the rookie going, okay. Now, this is a boozer with an incredible history, some of which is crime, some of which involves ghosts. More on that later. There's everything to play for. Now, the main thing I want to talk about is this particular crime. But before I get to that, because that crime took place between the 14th and 17th centuries...
Oh, wow.
Fun fact, no sources will agree on a date about this. The crime that I will be talking about is both grim and macabre.
Nice.
And that's what your wife said to me in the shower this morning. Sorry. Now, I want to give you a very quick quiz about other stuff that's happened in this pub. So, question. It is said that King John stayed the night at the Ostrich Inn on his way to Runnymede to seal which famous historical document in 1215?
Oh, I was so excited. I thought you were going to say he went to see a witch. I was like, yes. Which famous document in what year, sorry?
1215. Oh, no, don't look at the chat. They can tell you.
Oh, is it? Can I just say, that's the only historical document I've ever heard of. So
yes.
It's that's what I was
the Magna Carta.
Yeah. It is the Magna Carta.
I know. I was like, oh, do you guys have something that you talk about all the time?
We've got, it's like the British Bill of Rights, but we've got way less rights in it. Because British things are not as good as American things.
Yeah, it's the right to bear it in a queue because you're queuing all the time. Yeah,
we just have more episodes.
Right to bear your
we have more clauses. We have more bills.
Exactly. It's like, it's not as, it's just, it doesn't have Steve Carell in it and it's not as good. So, second quiz question. It is said that Dick Turpin regularly used the pub as a hideout. One story has him jumping out of a window to escape who?
A ghost.
A ghost from Hannah?
I don't know if I know who Dick Turpin really is.
Was he a highwayman or have I gone mental?
Yeah, he was a highwayman.
He was a highwayman. So he would have been running from the...
He could have been robbing from...
Was he running from Robin Hood?
We've got Robin Hood. We've got a ghost.
It's hard to top any of this. From the police, I guess.
Taylor, you win. It was the Bow Street Runners and they were the early police.
All right.
Okay. Out of a window as well. I love that.
Yes.
I love that for Dick. Really nice.
I have to say, I used to get Dick Turpin confused with the guy that they do all the pantos about.
Dick Whittington.
Yes. When I was researching this, for a second I was like, wait, why would they do a... okay, different guy. So, on to the main crime that I want to discuss. So I'm going to call this 16th century because, as I say, my sources did not agree.
Okay.
So we have a pub landlord called John Jarman and his wife, Mrs. Jarman.
That is a great name for, like, because, like, if you go, you have a jar, don't you? You have a jar of beer. And Jarman is a great name for a pub landlord.
That might well be where it came from.
It's like calling him Pintman. Like, it's great.
Yeah, like John, a wee nip before bed.
Martini. No,
John, sex on the beach, son.
Yeah. If only they did name people the same way they used to.
Yeah, if you just got named after your favourite drink, that'd be really nice.
It would, Hannah White Wine. I don't know if that is your favourite drink. So anyway, his wife doesn't have an official name. All the sources call her Mrs. Jarman or his wife. She has no identity outside of him because feminism has spoilt us.
As it should be. From now on, I'm not called Hannah anymore. I will be Mrs. William.
Oh, did you change your name?
No, fuck that.
So I'm going to call her Mrs. Jarman, like we're in a repressed Jane Austen novel, or like she's a teacher. So they created a lucrative sideline to pulling pints, or jars, as we've got going. And they had a particular eye for the richest people. Travellers, like merchants, carried a lot of money around. And when they picked a mark, they had a secret code to communicate to each other that they had chosen a mark for this crime. So, question, anyone want to guess what form these coded messages took?
Did they do the thing, you know, when you're in school and you put your hands, both hands down one sleeve and then one in the middle and you make it go like that?
But for the people listening, you missed that Jenny did a brilliant impression of the particular thing that she was talking about. And if you join us on live Zooms, you'll get to see it.
It's very hard to describe.
I haven't thought about that for years.
Well, now you are.
Oh, no, I can't stop thinking about it.
It's a it's a brilliant trick to pull out. I've only got short sleeves, but you knew what I meant.
I did, yeah. I'm really boasting. I knew what you meant.
Yeah, I was a kid. I went to school.
They did that at my school. I've heard of this.
I'm going to hasten a guess that it's something like a kind of like... sort of like tapping a... at the moment, I'm tapping my glass with a pair of scissors.
Again, this is kind of for the live people.
So it was an audible code.
Yeah. Hannah just tapped her glass like she's about to do a speech at the wedding.
I was thinking maybe it would be like Morse, so it would be more visual.
Okay.
Morse is literally noises, though, isn't it?
Dot, dot, dash. No, because like, the whole thing is you can do a light. Well, it can be, but you can do it visually, like this. Dot, dot, dash. I don't really know how to do it.
I love the idea that we fall out of a Morse code.
No, I like
Taylor.
Yeah, but Taylor's right. Morse code is versatile.
I like my men like I like my codes.
You can do it with your hand or...
There's options. None of you have quite got it. It was a sentence that they would say. So Jarman would yell to his wife, "There's a fat pig available if you want one." And Mrs. Jarman would respond, "Put him in the sty for till tomorrow."
Uh-huh.
Oh, very clever.
Right. So my next question is, can you crack their code? What do you think their crime is?
Say it again.
"There's a fat pig available if you want one. Put him in the sty for till tomorrow."
Yep. So you can pick up some money and put it in the stables.
I mean, I presume fat pig refers to there's a wealthy person.
Okay, yeah.
So it might be a kind of kidnappy thing where they kind of...
Of course it is. It's a guest. They're going to murder wealthy guests.
Or they're going to at least until tomorrow. Are they going to murder them until tomorrow?
Do they eat them too? You said grim and macabre. I want both.
They put an apple in their mouth until dawn.
Oh shit.
They had apples, we've established.
We've got a free machine, guys.
Apples are indigenous to the UK. You know what? These are fantastic answers. Taylor gets it. They are murdering rich guests.
Oh, but not eating them.
I don't think it was that far.
What they would do next is they would give the wealthy customer very special treatment, you know. Happy endings, massages. the special treatment took the form of lovely food, heavy ale, and a special room. But it wasn't a sex dungeon or anything. It was the fanciest bedroom in the inn.
Would you like to stay in our Kill suite? No. I mean, it was just named after Mr. Kill.
Basically, yes. It was more than just a fancy bedroom. It was a kill room. Wow. So I was going to ask you what happened in special room, but you are ahead of me.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
I've been too long. There's going to be a kill room. There's going to be a trap door. Legend has grown and they're going to fall through the floor. And anyway.
Correct.
But how did they kill them in the kill room?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay. They killed them with pleasure.
They just got them, knocked out with heavy ale.
The fancy bedroom
is above a kitchen, and John Jarman, the landlord, had installed a large trapdoor under the bed. So the bed was fixed to the trapdoor, and the mattress was securely attached to the bedstead so that when two retaining iron pins were removed from below in the small hours of the morning, the sleeping guest was neatly decanted into a boiling cauldron.
No.
Whoa.
Never happened.
Oh my goodness. There's some one bed studios in London where it's set up a bit like that, I think, where you've got the bed just above the hob.
It feels dodgy.
Yeah. Straight into the bath.
You know, it's good to be suspicious. I can quote a source for you now. "That part of the chamber whereupon this bed and bedstead stood was made in such sort that by the pulling out of two iron pins below in the kitchen, it was to be let down in the manner of a trapdoor. Maneuver in the kitchen directly under the place where this should fall was a mighty great cauldron wherein they vest to seethe their liquor."
Whoa.
Do you know what? Basically proof.
Part of me, though, is kind of it's got a kind of Wallace and Gromit vibe. I'm kind of it kind of feels charming.
It's very slapstick, isn't it? It's very cartoonish.
You slide through some clown trousers directly into the
Right? And also, it just, my first question is, what about the blankets? Are the blanket, the mattress is attached, but
They get cleaned at the same time that you've got your body.
Oh, maybe they're made of rice paper.
Yeah.
Maybe you come out like a dumpling.
Nice.
Drunk women solving crime.
Through the thick forest, Jolie Carter tried to run silently. What she had just seen had chilled her to the bone, and she knew she must find a way out of these haunted woods. Her friend Cassie Ormson had gotten caught up with the wrong sort of friends. The type who don't listen to podcasts but only get their news on social media. Cassie had met up with Maria and Daisy Brown to try to conduct the most sinister of rituals. They wanted to bring Joanne Van Meegarden back to life. You see, Joanne had lost her way 7 years ago in the woods and was never seen again. Jolie had witnessed the inane chanting, "Come on, Joanne, we're bored. Show up, will you?" And it had been too ridiculous to tolerate. So she had slipped away whilst they closed their eyes and pretended to have witchy powers. But on the way, who did she see? But Joanne herself. Had Maria and Daisy really brought her back to life? Before she knew it, Jolie got lost herself, and she could only pray that her friends would notice and bring her back. This story makes no sense at all. Happy Halloween, and thank you to our latest patrons. You too can support us on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime. I must be drunk right now. This was ridiculous.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Now, sources disagree about whether this pot was filled with hot water or fat. So if wash the sheets.
Fat would be so much more expensive, though, to have that amount of it boiling.
That's probably true, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe a drizzle of olive oil. I do that when I do broccoli.
Oh, nice tip, everyone.
Yeah.
Nice tip.
Oh, my gosh. Sea salt and olive oil in the water of broccoli. If you think you don't like broccoli, yeah, you do.
What does the olive oil do to the broccoli?
Oh, my gosh. When you drain it, it sort of clings to it, so it adds flavor. It adds that bit of, like, you know, just olive oil fatty goodness.
I already like broccoli, so this is just going to take it to a whole new level.
Yeah, I'm already a fan, so this is exciting.
Don't be afraid of the amount of salt you're putting in either, because remember, it's getting diluted. You need to be able to taste it, a good, healthy...
Oh my God, I can't wait.
I love that we've gone from, like, humans being killed to
wapping recipes.
Got a great broccoli recipe.
Making me a bit hungry.
That's what's great about, like, doing cases from, like, 900 years ago. You're kind of like, do you know what? We can say anything.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
So they'd be boiled to death, and one of my sources is they died instantly. And I really hope that's true, because it's pretty horrific otherwise.
Did they go in head first, at least?
I don't know if
that's what you do with lobsters.
Or head first, is it?
Well, just to kill them more quickly. Oh, this is horrific.
Okay.
Oh my God. Now this got really dark as soon as we acknowledged what was happening.
Also, like, I remember recently I watched Taylor eat an entire lobster, and now I'm imagining you do it with, like, a human, and it's as entertaining as the lobster, to be honest.
So, but apparently these terrible murders were silent and there was no bloodshed. So maybe it was head first.
Sorry. Wow. I mean, if any of this is true, this is fucking.
It does. It honestly,
insane.
There are multiple sources, but I hear you. It
oh,
sounds
no, and I'm not.
Ludicrous.
It's just like it's. Ugh. Anyway, okay.
It's too much. Okay. They would take all the money. The belongings were all sold off, and ka-ching. Question, where were the remains disposed of?
On the Sunday roasts.
I know what you're thinking, though. You're thinking like a stock, right? Like it's in the gravy. Is that what you mean, or...?
Yeah,
well, I was thinking, like, you know, when you get a lamb roast and you're like, wow, that's like a size of a human bone sometimes.
So yeah. They're eating the flesh.
Who knows? Maybe. That's what I, yeah.
Or did like they're have, at least serving it.
Did they have livestock?
I do not know if they had livestock.
Well, that's not the answer then. So that's all that matters.
Do you think it's like, did they use them on...
they wouldn't feed it to the livestock.
Oh, right. You like Silence of the Lambs or the second one where they... fed that goat to the pigs.
That horrible...
Oh, they've got a pig. They've got a pig in the sty till tomorrow for the morning. Or whatever.
Yes, we know that there were pigs.
Excellent remembering of my. That would be great if they really did. And they're like, "Wait, is that code?" No,
genuinely
it's
got a pig
real
to feed.
Pig conversation. Damn this code.
I like to think that maybe they used the bones on like. So I had a cider the other day, and the pump that you pull. Was like, it was a fun statue of a fox on an apple. And I was like, that's kind of fun. So maybe they just have bones as the pumps for the beers.
Oh, that's a great visual. Ooh. It's something, I go back to Tim Burton. Like something
very goth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the whole pub made of bones to this day?
They've got this chair like Game of Thrones. So these are all excellent guesses. What they actually did was they put it in the River Colne.
Oh, okay.
Is that in Germany?
Body.
Yeah, which was fine, apparently. But certainly sometime they were getting away with that. That was fine. Question, how many guests were murdered in this way?
One, and then the police were like, all right. We've had a word from the builder who set up your cauldron trapdoor thing. And...
yeah, and he rang 101 and he said, I've got some concerns.
Yeah, this is a bit suspicious. Okay, I mean, we've got one from Detective Collier.
This place, what? Like, did they have midweek deals?
Yeah. Was their TripAdvisor rating good?
Absolutely, yeah. How was the hygiene rating? So I've got some questions about the cauldron. I would say I think it might be like quite a shocking number, like 250.
We've had lots of different, we've got 250, we've got lots of different guesses in the chat.
Yeah, I'm not reading the chat because I don't want to be influenced.
I feel as though, I think I'm with Taylor in the sense that there's lots of, I imagine lots of travellers would have kind of come through in the sense that you're going to London. There's not so much of it. It's not, people aren't going to be like, oh my God, like Jenny hasn't Instagrammed since Monday. Like they're not going to be like missing you necessarily.
There's just fucking pilgrimages. That's all that they did. It was just
they're out by Heathrow, people on their way to the holiday.
Yeah. So
they're just in Cyprus.
They're like, well, he was here, but he's obviously gone on a plane.
So I'm going to go, I mean, I think they'll never really know a proper number, but I'm going to go 400, if you can believe it.
All right. Well, in that case, Detective Collier gets it because the correct answer is 60 and she is the closest. One is closer than 250
I was close.
Or 400.
That's true.
One
and
soul,
that's a relief.
60 souls.
I'm happy to be wrong on that. I love the idea that they had a rival pub down the river and that the bodies would just like ruin their beer garden. Like, God.
So frustrating for the other pub.
Totally got off my slop.
So they do get caught. It was all going so well. Now, one day, a well-known clothier called Thomas Cole arrived in town and he decided to spend the night at the Ostrich Inn, and they gave him the works, great food, ale. And this time, apparently, they even persuaded him to change his will.
Not quite sure
how they managed that.
I love the lack of suspicion way back when, though. Like, all these stories are like, hey, I know, okay. There's just this real innocence.
Yeah, what is that?
And also, do you just expect to die that you have your will on?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe they need to find your nearest and dearest. Like,
it's like having your iPhone.
Do you not take yours with you everywhere? I take mine down the shop. I take mine to the park when I'm going for a shade bathe.
Yeah, yeah. It's like an ID. He changed his will. He actually did it. And then kapow, hole in the floor, boom, he's in a cauldron. So my question to you guys is now, what went wrong this time that led to their undoing? And don't get bogged down in the will yet, just blue sky it.
They forgot to boil the water and he was like, eek! Cold
okay,
bath.
So cold water from Taylor.
And you say he's a, did you say he was like a clother or something?
He's a clothier.
Clothier.
He's ridden into town.
Okay.
On his well-dressed horse.
Mm-hmm.
He's a clothman.
He's a clothman.
He's a man of the cloth.
He's ridden in on his horse. Has he got such a carapaced, horny behind that it withstands the boiling water and he hops out?
Oh, so has he got very strong, impervious skin?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that because I do that when I, like, I'll run a bath and I'll have it. And then Toby won't be able to get in the bath after me. You know, like you share bath water because that's just what you've always done.
You're more hardy to
heat. You do scalding baths.
I do. I literally poach myself. Like, I'm kind of like full on scaldy, scaldy, scaldy. I'm like, if sometimes I'll get in the bath and I'll go, oh, it's too hot. And I'll get out and I'll look like a rhubarb and custard and I love it. It's really funny.
Okay.
But what was my point? My point was perhaps he was going to clothe like the king. Or something.
Or it
was like someone's wedding or someone was going on a date or they were going to the NTAs or something.
Okay, so someone was looking for him straight away sort of thing.
Because he didn't turn up with the clothes and you're going to notice
that. They were important clothes that somebody needed. Do you know what? I'm really impressed with all of your answers. I'm sorry to say that none of you were quite correct. But they were really good.
Thanks, Miss Jordan.
Exciting guesses. You guys are great creative writers. So what actually happened was his horse escaped.
Oh.
So Thomas Cole's horse broke loose from the stables and started wandering the streets. And what I love about this is somebody recognised the horse.
Cute.
Because it probably had a pashmina on.
To be fair, Hannah is kind of the closest with like the clothes and somebody is missing him or recognises him because the horse does get recognised.
Wow.
So they knew it belonged to Thomas Cole. This is one iconic horse. They assume that he must have fallen off his horse.
Right.
So basically,
he should have got straight back on it, really.
Yeah. Did he learn nothing from overbearing parents? So a big search was organised to find him because they're like, oh, here's his horse. Where's he? He maybe fell off. We need to find him. So one source said that somebody had seen Cole entering the Ostrich Inn, and another source said that the horse led everybody back to the Ostrich Inn. But either way, the Ostrich Inn is in the frame now. All eyes are on the inn. Everybody, they go there, the mob trying to find him or whatever.
You can lead a horse to a pub.
Yeah.
But you can't let it in? I don't know. You can't make it drink. Oh. I know the one.
I just spell it out.
So, question. What, first of all, what gets discovered at the inn?
The horse can talk. That's not my answer.
Oh my god, I would love that.
That's not my answer.
So good.
That would be great. Like,
I have multiple sources.
Hey. My owner got boiled.
What's the first thing they discover, did you say?
Yeah, because like they're gonna find everything, you know, they get caught.
Sure.
But they first of all they find something.
A will.
Yes, Jenny Collier.
Oh, she remembered even when none of us did. None of the two of us.
It was behind the bar with his NUS card.
It was. The changed will is discovered. But also, see,
when it said everything to these lovely pub owners.
Yes. Because also, this time, it's only a missing person. And, like, I mean, maybe the law is different then, but, like, surely you need a body to be able to claim a will, unless you're going to wait 7 years for them to be declared dead or whatever. But anyway, that's probably modern times.
But also, we've done quite a lot of these cases, haven't we, where people have just got greedy. The thing they've done has worked, but then suddenly they start changing wills. And that's where you get... Well, I would never, if I was going to go on a killing spree, I'd never change a will. I'd just do it. I'd do it for the thrill.
Stay in your crime lane.
God, if any of us ever go off the rails, there's so much evidence.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
So I suggest to everyone here, do not murder. Remain that, non-murderers.
That is sound advice.
I've always said that.
Very sage. Oh, so no, now,
stop. I gotta get my dog a snack. Keep talking. I can roll this way.
Now, Mrs. Jarman is the one home when this happens, and everybody thinks she's acting kind of shady. And a search for Cole, Thomas Cole, eventually reveals the bed to cauldron pipeline. And then they find the remains of Cole in the brook too. Because obviously they're now looking. She is arrested. Now, Jarman himself has somehow got slightly ahead of the story, and he hides in nearby Windsor Forest, but he is eventually caught as well. Question, do they confess?
Oh, no.
They don't confess from Taylor?
No. I feel what benefit would that have in this year? Like, I just feel like there'd be no benefit to saying, the court system surely are not sophisticated. No, it's all gone. That was the last one. I'm sorry.
Okay, so we got no from Taylor. Do you guys think they confess, yes or no?
No, because I feel because the question is here and they've got like a Wallace and Gromit death slide. they're like, no, and then that's
a denial. Hannah, George,
I like to think they blamed each other,
because
I love it. There's way more drama when a couple turn on each other. And I think the reason we know about this isn't because of how ghastly it was. It's because there was a lot of drams between Mr. and Mrs. John.
Yeah, did they each sell the other one out?
Was it like the envelope at the end of Love Island?
Hannah, you are the cloak. I mean, basically, yeah. The couple I don't know how much drama there was, but they confessed to 60 murders. One source described Mr. Jarman as boasting about the 60 murders, and they were both hanged for robbery and murder.
Wow.
Yeah. And there is a story that the town is called Colnbrook, after this guy that died found in the river. But then another source said, no one has ever been able to confirm this. So I don't know, a lot of websites just lying.
Podcasts, we just go, we don't know. We're going to give you both.
But we're going to give you both sides.
I hope that it's just a nice little fairy tale to make us all be more careful when we go to the pub.
Yeah, right. That would be good. Because why would you name
a village? Don't sleep where you drink.
Yes, that's sage advice.
So as late as 1925, visitors to the pub could still view a room on the first floor, the remains of a curious arrangement whereby a flap could be let down from... Oh, you can still visit this pub now, by the way, and you can stay there.
No, thank you.
Jesus. Literally.
No, a travel lodge for me, please.
Now it's just a ride, though. Whee!
No, it is. It's a tourist attraction, genuinely.
But there's no, like, fucking trapdoor.
They can slide down the murder chute.
What?
Oh my God.
How have I lived here this long and not been to this place?
Guys, when are we going?
I will pay for it. We are all going.
Road trip.
Then they rebuilt it, but a working model of the magic bed is still on display at the pub. Okay, I don't. You could ride on it. I don't know if you still can. We'll find out.
I'm sorry. Somebody just wrote murder slide.
You used to be able to go on it, but since COVID restrictions, you can't.
Yeah. It has to be with other people you know.
It's actually a bit dangerous now.
COVID. Killing all the killing fun.
I promise you, ghosts, I'm really quickly gonna tell you about that. Obviously, we've got at least 60 dead people. There are also the people that work there say they see a woman in a Victorian dress and a ghostly young girl. Staff say equipment is turned on and off, as well as cold spots and feelings of despair. But that's just working in hospitality, am I right? High five.
I thought you were going to say that's just working in Slough. Solid burn. That's hilarious.
I actually loved my time working in bars and restaurants. But anyway, in 2003, a paranormal group spent the night at the pub and got to know a ghost called John. who was said to have lived during the time when Queen Elizabeth I was on the throne. That could be John Jarman. Who knows? Ghost hunters have been there, like Sussex Paranormal Research Group, Most Haunted. Some people say the Jarman killers were the inspiration for Sweeney Todd, but a million people are claiming that they're the inspiration for Sweeney Todd.
Yeah. It's also just like claiming the oldest pub.
Yeah, it's feeling quite reminiscent for me of, although they don't murder them, but in Les Mis, the master of the house. He like nicks stuff from the people and then doesn't let them open their windows.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Sleeping with the window shut. Yeah, so it kind of it's got those vibes.
We brought this back to a musical. Let's raise a glass to probably being safe in hotels.
Yay!
Wow. Drunk women solving crime.
A listener crime that has been sent to me by Amanda and selected from the fantastic live audience on Zoom.
I'm so giddy tonight. I'm like, ooh, it's like it's my first time. Yes!
This is from Harriet. Harriet says, I have a crime that involves theft and sexism, so that is on point for us.
Thank you, Harriet.
Sexism. No, doesn't work.
I was 5 years old in reception. We had show and tell, and the theme was bring something red. I brought my little brother's fire engine toy. At the end of the day, I went to go and collect it, and it was missing. I realised a boy in my class had it, so of course I went and told the teacher. She said it couldn't possibly be mine because I was a girl and it was a boy's toy.
Oh, no.
So my question, drunk women, why did the boy take it? Why did the teacher not do anything, even though I was the one who had showed and told it? And why did my mum not give a shit when she took me home without my brother's lovely fire engine?
Oh my God.
This is genuinely quite traumatic for me.
And Harriet was probably born in like 2001.
Yes!
Like, you want this to be the 50s, but it's so not.
That's genuinely very upsetting. I hate this sense of like sexism with like everything is for everyone. Why do people fucking do this to children? And why didn't the teacher care? Why, like, she'd walked in with it. What is that?
I know.
Did the mum not care because maybe the mum knew that the brother had already stolen it from the original, bought from the boy who now has it? So was it like a
twist?
A twist in the tale that it actually always belonged to that boy? And the teacher's like, I'm not getting involved. And the mum is like, we are a family of thieves. Harriet, I'm not calling your brother a thief.
But you're not, that could not maybe calling explain. Him a thief.
I'm not calling him a thief, but I am suggesting that he might be a thief. And so, I don't know.
Yeah, well, see, that is a more reasonable explanation than everybody else's shady behaviour in the story.
That is just, I hate it. Like, literally, the next year, bring in something red, I would bring in the blood of that teacher because I would kill her on my fucking hands. Like, what a cunt.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's just like... That's just so weird because, again, it's like it's not only sexism in terms of the toy not being a toy, but it's kind of not believing women from when we're five.
Yes.
And we can say a thing that has proof and they go, no, someone else has said.
Yeah.
No, she's dead by my hand. I've been very murdery tonight, I've realized.
Fair enough, I'm here for it.
You haven't just been murdery, though. You've been a little bit cannibalistic, too. Like, you've thrown a lot of stuff at the wall.
And you did manage to sing us a nice song from Les Mis, so...
More where that came from, guys. Don't worry.
This is such a truly infuriating, like, perfect audience crime. Because it's exactly. Yeah. This is all I can do tonight. Ugh.
But also, it's
please donate to the society.
It's weird to me that the mum didn't care as well. So the only explanation I can give for the mum not caring, other than that son is the thief, is either she's very, very tired and maybe one of her kids is sick and she's been up all night, or, and here the other thing is, maybe this is a noisy toy and she's secretly glad that this toy is not know home. That.
Oh, I bet that's it.
You have cracked this wide open.
Did you see my dog's ears go up?
Because otherwise, you want to support your kid and get their property back.
Yeah.
But now that you've suggested that, I feel like that is a definite, like, I can't even picture a fire engine without it not being an annoying, noisy toy. So it's got to be that.
Yes. I feel like
better off without it.
Yeah, Toby has this hat that I'm like, I mean, he looks, he doesn't, it's not a good look. And he left it somewhere once. And he was like, we've got to go back. And I was like, we've got to, it's the last train of the evening. We have to get this train. And it's like, yeah. It's 7 o'clock. Like, we have to go. The hat's gone.
We've lost the hat forever.
Yeah. So I think that there was a little slice of that too. So yeah. I agree with you, Katie.
That's a possibility. That's why the mum's not invested.
Yeah.
Because it's awful that the teacher's not invested, but it's confounding that the mum is not invested. Like, I once had this thing where I'd sent my daughter to nursery in a grey hoodie, and she'd obviously and it had her name stamped on the label, and she, like, it didn't come home with her. And then I was like, oh, where's your jumper? And she was like, I asked, because she'd taken it off, and she said, I asked them to give it back to me, but they said it probably wasn't mine because it was grey, and they thought it was a boy's.
Oh my God.
And it had her name in it. And like, we got it back, but, and like, no one was being evil on purpose.
We don't even get grey. Grey is just the absence of color. Like, we don't even get neutrality.
I know. So is this is like, you know.
Be sure to donate to check out .com.
But it wasn't, they did give it back. It wasn't like, no, you can never have it again because that's for boys. But it is this, it's a mad little fucking thing happening in our society, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Wow. And Harriet, I just hope you're okay, because you just got a double whammy of teacher not believing.
Yeah.
And giving you a little dose of sexism, and then mother not.
Yeah.
This is great therapy stuff. This is at least a session and a half.
Oh my God, I hope Harriet's like a fucking firewoman now. And she just like kicks ass all day.
Yeah, it only made her stronger.
Yeah. Yes. She fights fires, but she just cries.
She puts the fire back with her tears. Yeah.
That's what all female firefighters do.
Well, I do feel fire like is
we
scary.
We answered some of her questions though.
Yeah.
Like, the mum just didn't want a noisy toy.
Yeah, Harriet, thanks for sharing, and I'm pleased that we...
Yeah, thank you. That was an awesome crime, and I think we solved it. And we have just enough time to ask Jenny Collier, what are you up to? Where can we find more about you?
I'm gigging all around. Excellent. And I'm on the internet. I've just joined
TikTok.
The internet,
you say?
Yes.
Have you? Are you on TikTok?
I've just joined TikTok because apparently I think I'm 20. Yeah, Jen Collier. So, follow me on TikTok, and I've got some one thing about smear tests there.
Yeah, so you mainly actually, want to plug your smear test content.
I just thought it deserved more, so jump on board.
Yeah. Smear tests need to be talked about.
Yeah, to be fair, I want to check that out.
I always call it a trip to the cervix station.
That's brilliant.
Just a cheeky little rebrex. Exactly.
I'm starting to feel really, really harassed, and I know that it's like they're looking after my health, but I get so many letters like, you still haven't come in for your smear, and I'm just starting to feel harassed. I tweeted this the other day, like, at what point do they just show up on your doorstep with a warrant and forceps? So I just feel like I'm not in control of my own cervix at this point.
I booked mine yesterday, and like I'd walked back from the writer's room, and it was past like six, it was about 6:45, and I was like, oh, fuck's sake, when you're like, because obviously we're all freelance, normally you don't work full time during the day, so you have time any time to book a smear test. And I walked past the doctor's surgery, and it was open, and I was like, oh my God, it's open, I could just go in and book it now in person.
Did you just walk in vulva first?
I practically skipped in, and I just went, I would like to book a smear test. And I think the woman was slightly taken aback by my enthusiasm. But it's on Monday at 5:45. So, you know. Taylor, book yourself in. At the same time as me. We're not going to do it as like mates.
But, oh my God, do they do like, it's like a couple's massage?
like a spa.
Hey, which one's better? Rate them. See, Jenny, look, it's just inspiring.
You know what? Yeah, like, there is nothing that a smear test can't do.
Someone said they cancelled theirs and it's their official reminder to rebook. Come on, guys.
Get amongst it. Yeah.
Everybody
it's like
do
we're
it.
Part of a campaign. It's all part of the campaign. Also, just want to say, because Harriet messaged and said what she does, and she said she's a children's TV editor.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Harriet, have you ever edited any of my stuff? That's a... Or do you work on Fireman Sam? That would be amazing.
Sam is not for girls.
Oh, she's answered.
No, but I work for the company that...
Oh, that's Paddington.
Oh, fantastic.
So,
you showed those bitches... Oh, one of them's your mum. I'm sorry. Take that, cunts. No, that's not my place.
I feel like that about wraps it up.
It
just remains for me to say thank you to our guest, Jenny Collier.
Jenny, you're amazing. Yay.
Thanks for having me.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening. Bye!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.